Yesterday, Sieroji said that there is a path with three stages for getting to the place that is free of danger, a place of real happiness. One can't get there without going through these three stages of the path. So the first part of the path is the mula path, and the second part is what precedes the noble path, and the third part is our final goal is to get to the Arya path, the noble path. So there are these three portions of the path: mula, puba, Arya. So in the U.S., one has to drive on the right and stay in one's lane, stay to the right except when passing, and follow signs. When you can follow the signs, then you can get to the place where you want to go. So if you, when you want to get there, you have to look at the sign. Just like if you want to go to L.A., then you look for the sign that says L.A., this exit, or this way, and you just follow the directions when they come up for how to get to L.A. So first of all, one has to read the signs. This is very important when we take a car trip. And to go there, one must look for the path, look for the right road, and then travel on it. And for us, in the practice, what we travel on is the Eightfold Path, Megging, the path which has eight factors. This is what we have to go along. So the first stage of the path, this basic path or mula path, is the understanding that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results, the understanding of karma and its results. And this is basically like being able to read the sign, the road signs, because this mula path is tells you if you take that action, you will reach that place. If you take this action, you will reach that place. So this is like this, being able to follow the signs. And one has to also follow the rules of the road. So once we're driving, we have to observe the speed limit and reduce speed when we go around a curve. And when we come to an intersection that's marked with a stoplight, if the light is red, we need to come to a stop. If it's yellow, we can proceed with caution. And if it's green, we can go through the intersection. So with the practice, too, we have to do this. And in the practice, this driving along the road and following the rules of the road is like the forerunner path, which precedes the noble path. So it's the second section of our path. While we're on this path, we can't stop and we can't look at the views. We have to keep on driving until we get to where we're going. So first of all, looking at the basic portion of the path, the mula or basic portion of the path, all yogis have this to some extent, Sieroji thinks. And from there, going on to the middle section of the path, the forerunner path, well, as we're traveling along, some have gained knowledge, but some are still looking here and there. And because of that, they have not been able to keep their wheels turning. So without keeping the wheels turning, one does not develop knowledge. So the yogis need to rest at appropriate times. That means they can sleep at night, and they can take a rest at the scheduled time during the day. But all their waking hours, they must be observing and keeping the wheels turning by applying mental and physical effort, kayika virya and chetasika virya. This is like keeping the wheels of our car turning, and this is what we have to do. We have to travel continuously. And if we do, we will get to the destination, which is the noble path. So going along the road, this Pobhabhaga Magga, the forerunner path, we develop Vipassana knowledge. And this Vipassana knowledge becomes mature. When it does, we will reach apavata, or cessation. So we have to just follow the signs. So we have to know the signs, that is, we have to have the basic path, the mula path, and know what is good and bad. And then we have to be walking, traveling along this forerunner path, keeping our wheels continuously turning. So these are the three parts of the path we have to travel, mula, poba, and arya. And it's quite a lot like taking a car trip. Yesterday, Sayadawji mentioned that we are traveling a road which has eight parts, eight individual components. And if we look in terms of groups, there's three groups. The training of sila, sila seka. The training of samadhi, samadhi seka. And the training of panya, panya seka. And when we can apply these three trainings, they overcome the three grades of kilesas, and they purify us regarding these three grades of kilesas, the gross, the medium, and the refined level of defilements. And thus, one becomes clean. And this is the meaning of arya. Arya is explained in the text as parisodho, which means completely clean. And further, it's described as otamo, because this cleanliness makes us excellent. This path which creates cleanliness is an excellent path. And by contrast, something which is not clean is dirty and low. So this path is clean, pure, and excellent. And it's quite evident when we think about the press. So this path has eight factors, individual parts, and three basic groups. So what are these gross, medium, and refined defilements from which we become clean? These are lobha, dosa, and moha, greed, hatred, and delusion. These are the cause of suffering. And we are dispelling these kilesas systematically. To the extent one dispels them, gets rid of them, one is free of suffering. So when one practices, one opens the path to happiness when one is walking along the path, developing the eight factors. With each noting, we are eliminating kilesas on three different levels: the gross level, the medium level, and the refined level. Sorry, maybe they will. So, and by eliminating the kilesas, there is no more, we are not performing any unwholesome karma, So, and we are also only performing wholesome karma that leads to the cessation of samsaric suffering. So there's no new life. There's no karma which creates new life while we do the practice. So no new lifetimes come from doing this, from following this Eightfold Path. And therefore this path is called, in addition to being Aryo, it's called Samadukkhekiyagami. It goes to the end of suffering systematically. So this path that we are traveling, the path with eight factors, is pure and clean. It is excellent. And this is very important. To the extent that one travels along this path, one gains purity. The kilesas are being put out. At whatever stage we are in the path, the relevant kilesas, the kilesas that are related to that section of the path, are being put out. And one who puts out the kilesas, which are called papa, one who puts out the kilesas is called samana. So that this road that we are talking about, the Buddha himself revealed it over 2,500 years ago. And he walked it for himself. And he eliminated all the kilesas. He eliminated avijja, tanha, upadana, the cycle of kilesas, and the cycles that follow from that too. He eliminated moha, delusion. So there was nothing that he could not know. Whatever he turned his mind to, he could know. So, and he he knew correctly. So he's Samma Sambuddha. And other religions at that time knew about him. So when the Buddha was about to pass away into Parinibbana, there was a man nearby, by his side, Subhadda. And Subhadda was an ascetic. He had heard from his teachers that tonight, in the middle of the night, the monk Gotama will pass away into Parinibbana. And he also had heard that from time to time, only occasionally, a being arises in the world that is free of kilesas. And tonight this great being will pass away. This Subhadda had doubts regarding the beliefs that were prevalent at the time. There was something he couldn't decide. But he had the faith that the Buddha could resolve this question for him. And that the Buddha is the only one who could resolve this question. Therefore, with that thought, when that thought arose in him, he went immediately to Kusinagar. Now it's called Kusinagar. In the kingdom of the Mala princes. And he went to where, this is the place where the Buddha was to enter into Parinibbana. So Subhadda met with the Venerable Ananda and explained his feeling and asked the Venerable Ananda to please let him see the Buddha. And the Venerable Ananda stopped him and said, "No, the Buddha is weak. Don't bother him right now." But the ascetic Subhadda didn't stop. He again repeated his request. And the Venerable Ananda again stopped him, saying, "No, the Buddha is weak now. Don't bother him." So three times the ascetic Subhadda made his request, and the Venerable Ananda stopped him. The Buddha heard their conversation, and he said, "Ananda, let him come in." So at that time, Subhadda had the chance, and he went in to see the Buddha. Subhadda came in to where the Buddha was and sat down. And he explained his feeling to the Buddha, that now there are major teachers. There are teachers that have large followings, such as Purana Kassapa. And these people are teaching the Dhamma that they are teaching the Dhamma, a Dhamma of some type. Do they really know Or not knowing, are they teaching? Are they teaching something they don't know? And the way the Buddha answered the ascetic Subhuta is worthy of note. In the Buddha's time, there were six major teachers, such as Purana Kassapa, who had large followings. And Subhuta wanted to know, do these teachers talk about what they know, or do they not really know, but teach anyhow? And today, these days, in places such as Europe, there are many teachers and who have many followers. And there are others that are have some standing, whether they're large or small. So there are many people talking, teaching, and people nowadays may have similar doubts to the Venerable Subhuta. People may wonder, do these people preach really knowing, or do they preach but not know? And the Buddha replied that just let that go, put that aside. He didn't answer that question. What he did was establish guidelines. And these are very worthy of noting, making note of. First of all, the Buddha said, Subhuta, I'll tell you about the right and the wrong path. Listen carefully. I'm going to speak. So this is very important. The teacher tells the student to listen carefully to what is about to come. And the listener also must do so, must listen carefully to what the teacher says. And if both sides do this, then the teacher's words will be beneficial. It will be beneficial to the teacher as well as to the listener, because the listener will get benefit when the instructions are put into practice. The Buddha established the following guidelines. Yasamen ko Subhuta dhamma vinaye ariyo atangiko mago na upalabhati samanopi tata na upalabhati dutiyopi tata samano na upalabhati tatiyopi tata samano na upalabhati chatotopi tata samano na upalabhati. In a teaching where there is no Eightfold Path, then there is no one who practices, there's no one who puts out the kilesas. So in here, the Buddha used the word dhamma vinaya, dhamma vinaya. So that means teaching or belief. And in India, there were many beliefs being expressed, and the word dhamma vinaya can be used for any type of teaching. So in a teaching where there is no Eightfold Path, where this Arya, clean, pure eight path with eight factors is not present, then there will not be the first samana, that is the first person who puts out the kilesas. There will not be the second samana, the second person who puts out the kilesas. There will not be the third samana, the third type of person putting out the kilesas. And there will not be the fourth samana, the fourth type of person putting out the kilesas. So one can say it as, where there is no Eightfold Path, there's no one putting out the kilesas. So that was the first guideline that the Buddha laid down. And the second guideline went as follows. Yasamen cha ko Subhuta dhamma vinaye ariyo atangiko mago upalabhati samanopi tata upalabhati dutiyopi tata samano upalabhati tatiyopi tata samano upalabhati chatotopi tata samano upalabhati. In a teaching where there is the Noble Eightfold Path, the pure Eightfold Path, there are people who are practicing to put out the kilesas. So this is very important. And at present time, those who are looking for the Dhamma, who are following the Dhamma, should evaluate teachings in this way. When the Buddha began his talk to Subhadda, he said, "Subhadda, listen, I will teach you the Dhamma." So the Dhamma is that which lifts up the practitioner so that the practitioner does not fall down. It is the true Dhamma which has a method, and that method, when applied, brings results. One who practices it can decide for oneself. Where there's the path of factors eight, there are people putting out the fires. So that's my translation. Where there is this eightfold path, there are people who are putting out the kilesas. If one really wants to know the true Dhamma, and one wants to know how to evaluate so that one is sure, it's not just enough to have these two guidelines. The person who is laying down the guidelines needs to give a guarantee. And this was the Buddha's responsibility. Because without it, with the guarantee that the Buddha gave, then the listener will be sure about which is the right path. So the Buddha said that Imasame ko Subhadda Dhammaviniye Aryo Atangiko Mago Upalabhati Ideva Subhadda Samano Ida Dutiyo Samano Ida Tatiyo Samano Ida Chetoto Samano, so and so on. So, O ascetic Subhadda, only in this Dhamma and Vinaya is there the Noble Eightfold Path. Dhamma Vinaya in this place means, Dhamma means a good method for getting results, realizing benefits. And Vinaya refers to the rules that have to be followed. So it's the method of practice and the discipline. This is what is meant by the Dhamma Vinaya. And only in this Dhamma Vinaya is there the Arya Eightfold Path, the pure Eightfold Path. And if one practices effectively, one will reach the stage of being, one will put out the kilesas and become the first type of person who puts out the kilesas, which is a sotapanna. And continuing the practice, one will become the second person putting out kilesas, a sakadagami. Continuing the practice, one will eliminate more kilesas and become the third person who puts out kilesas, the anagami. And continuing to reach the end of the path and complete purity from kilesas, one will become the fourth person who puts out kilesas, the arahant. So this teaching is a true teaching, and when one follows it, one puts out the kilesas. So because this, only in this teaching with the Noble Path of Eight, are there those who put out the kilesas. So the Buddha gave this guarantee about the teaching, his teaching, not in order to disparage others, but he's simply speaking the truth. The Buddha said himself, speaking bravely, like a lion roaring, he was not doing so to put down others, but to reaffirm his teaching. Where there is the Eightfold Path, there are those who put out the kilesas. And the conclusion one can draw is that in other places, there is no Eightfold Path and there are no people that are putting out the kilesas. So the Buddha continued, Sunya Parapavada Samanebi Anehi. That means that the other beliefs, other belief systems, are devoid of people putting out kilesas. There is no one operating in other belief systems who has put out the kilesas. And that means basically that these systems are, people are just pretending to have done that. The Buddha continued to encourage the ascetic Subhuta. He said, Subhuta, if the monks, if the bhikkhus do as I've instructed, that means when the Buddha talked about bhikkhus, he meant not only bhikkhus or monks, he also meant bhikkhunis and lay devotees, laymen and laywomen, upasakas and upasika. If these people live practicing as I have taught, the world will not be devoid of those who are freed of kilesas. That means that there will be people in the world who have freed themselves of kilesas, whether it is those who have freed themselves to the first level, or those who have freed themselves to the second level, those who have freed themselves to the third level, or those who have freed themselves completely. And there will be those yogis who are striving for the path, pure and clean practitioners. There will be those who have reached the path, one of the four path knowledges. And there will be those who have reached one of the four fruition knowledges. The world will not be devoid of these beings who have freed themselves or are freeing themselves from the kilesas. Those who believe in this have a responsibility to continue walking on the path, each of us in our own way. Monks have the responsibility, and those who are the present-day equivalent of bhikkhunis. In the Theravada, we do not have bhikkhunis, but in the Mahayana, there are still bhikkhunis. And then the lay people, the laymen and laywomen, we all have a responsibility to continue walking. So knowing one's responsibility, one should not let worldly business take up too much time. One shouldn't let that stop one. We have a responsibility to practice according to the method. We have a responsibility to see to it that there are people who have freed themselves of kilesas in the world. So we must practice accordingly. And if we do so, so one has to practice according to the correct method. And one needs to, in the world, this is very much needed. So one should practice in order to complete the teachings, to complete the sasana within oneself. The Buddha laid down two guidelines, and he gave a guarantee that regarding his teaching in this Dhamma Vinaya, there is the Eightfold Path, and there are those who have freed themselves of kilesas. So with that in mind, make effort in the practice. Follow the method of practice wholeheartedly. Within 7 days, special things will develop. Within 1 month, one's basis should be very good. And those who have practiced according to the method have been able to do so. One simply needs to continue practicing. So Seiraoji says we should stop here for tonight because the hour is up.